Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, Rich Casanova, your host for this morning's episode of Buckhead Business Radio. We have some great guests in the studio joining us in our Buckhead studio with this amazing million-dollar view out our window. It's a beautiful day in Buckhead. You can see this amazing view. I don't know why I always talk about the view on the radio, right? One day we'll bring in one of those cameras, what is it, GoPro, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. But if you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. But meanwhile, we have a great show this morning. Like I mentioned, we have some amazing guests. We're going to just kind of say hi to each of our guests and then kick off our show. So joining us first in the studio will be just Steph. That's your kind of brand or your name. That's but right. Steph, your last name is...
Palermo. Like the capital of Sicily.
Okay, nice. Very yes. Nice, yeah. Okay, yes. And you don't get any money every time from the capital, do you? Or any? Do you know any folks over there? Or?
I do. I actually have family in Sicily.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, if we were doing restaurant radio, we'd ask for some food here. But we'll. I don't know what's Italian? What's good Italian for breakfast?
Well, they usually just eat...
Oatmeal or whatever.
Well, strong coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And bread.
That's me. Okay, nice. Well,
I'm
actually a quarter Italian, Irish, Italian, French, and what's my other one? Spanish. My grandmother from Madrid. It's not even international radio, which is a new show we have in the works, and all of a sudden we got off target there, off tangent. So welcome to the show. What will you be chatting with this morning?
You know, I'm so excited to be here, Rich. Thank you for having me. I'm going to be talking about a show that I'm going to be starting called Living Atlanta, and actually how I got there. And Living Atlanta is focused on the over 40 group and all the activities and fun things that are going on in and around Atlanta, all the businesses that actually enhance their lives and all the fun things to do.
And this idea of a second life.
That's
don't
right.
give too much away.
That's right.
But very intrigued. We had a conversation. Yeah. And we don't want to jump the gun, but there's a new show possibly in the works or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see how
that's
that progresses.
Exciting.
Big time. Okay. And then also joining us in the studio is a representative from the Georgia Restaurant Association, Tanya and Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Yeah. Yeah. You were first here. So you get the brownie points for first in the studio.
I love brownies.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. We're not giving any away, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. Although we did have some folks from Cinnabon here earlier this morning. But again, no, you know, I'm just going to make a public announcement. If you're in the food or beverage business, we need to see your product here. Yeah. So I'm just, Meanwhile, so Tanya, what will you be sharing with us this morning?
I'll just be talking with you guys about all the good things that the GRA does. We represent Georgia's 17,000 restaurants.
That's crazy.
On issues impacting their business here in the state of Georgia.
So 17,000.
That is correct.
Well, we'll
give
get
or take two.
Yeah. We'll have you give a quick list of those in a moment when we come back. Yeah. So jot those down. Yeah. All right. And first joining us in the studio, our first guest, company Adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is a marketing firm, social media. Yes or yes?
Yes and yes.
Okay, yeah.
And a little more.
All right, a little bit more. But formally joining us in the studio is Gina Bleedorn.
Bleedorn.
Okay, yeah. The type, it looks like an M because of the R and the N combined.
There's
yes.
There's a lot of problems
okay,
with it.
Okay, nice. So welcome to the show. And also joining you, your sidekick here, Scott Hickman.
That's right. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. So let's go into your bio. We'll just begin your interview here. So welcome to the show. So Gina, you're the executive director of Adrenaline, an experienced design agency that spans from brand development to digital development, implementation in retail virtual environments, connecting businesses and consumers. Your area of focus includes brand and marketing strategy, which is a great, I love the whole conversation about branding. I mean, we could do whole shows just about that, right? But meanwhile, and a holistic experience solutions, you're adept in both traditional and interactive design. Gina's developed outstanding brand and environmental solutions for financial institutions and retailers around the country. Well, welcome to the show. Wow.
Thank you.
That's very impressive. Scott, you want to top that one there?
I don't think I can.
Well, let's just do a quick introduction of Scott as well. We're going to kind of jump into both questions, and I'm going to ask you a series. Just feel free to whoever raises their hand first. It's not really a contest, by the way. So, Scott, you're the managing and creative director of Adrenaline. You lead the branding group and focus on agency operations while aligning creative efforts with client goals. Over 20 years experience.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, did you start at 5 or something?
Right, right.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, you held up well over
almost
the years.
Almost 25 now, I think.
Nice.
<I'm> correct.
So, and specifically, brand strategy development, print, interactive, motion design. Scott, you've been a key player. You're a player now.
A player.
All right, ramp it up. Yeah, and I got to be careful. This is business radio, by
right.
the way. Steph, yeah, just slap me if I get out of control here, right? All right. So meanwhile, this is more in your wheelhouse of
that's
the fun
exactly
entertainment.
What I was
thinking. Okay. I'll put my business back. Apologies, Scott. Okay. So meanwhile, clients such as Apple, Yamaha, Nike, Harley Davidson, IBM, AT&T. This is a serious dude here. Attended Vancouver Film School for 3D animation. And an MA in global politics. Wow. Mm-hmm. And taught at the Academy of Art in San Francisco.
That's correct.
All right. Well, game over. Jeez.
All right.
All right. So, so meanwhile, let's jump into adrenaline. Okay. So, who wants to give kind of the backstory? What's the big picture, elevator pitch of you? What's your mission?
Well, when people, strangers, ask what I do, I usually say I work at an ad agency because that's easy. People get that, but it's actually inaccurate. Okay. We're trying to do something a little bigger than that. We're trying to, traditional ad agencies really were back when people believed ads. Now people kind of hate ads. They block them. They don't want to watch them.
Yeah.
And there was a big explosion when there was the digital explosion of channels that enabled consumers to be more intelligent. And because of that, there was an explosion of digital agencies and small specialized agencies. What we're trying to do is bring it all together for businesses, trying to connect channels for their customers and ultimately trying to create a brand reputation or AKA an experience so you don't lose customers between channels. Nothing is more important than your brand's reputation. And essentially, that's what we're here to do.
Absolutely. You began the conversation and said, when strangers ask you, didn't your mom teach you not to talk to strangers?
Yeah, she forgot that, I talk to them all the time.
Yeah, you talk to everybody. Nice. All right, so Scott, what do you do specifically for clients? You know, how do you work with them? What's your...
Well, I am the creative director. I have a design background.
Right.
And that's evolved into a brand communications job. I do a lot of marketing strategy as well as guide designers and writers through the exercises of creating a new voice or starting a conversation for our clients. Okay. I think I read recently that this is the conversation age.
I like that. Write that down.
So that problem Gina brought up about people being skeptical of advertising, not listening, ignoring it, has been answered by that, by content. And what we do is fuel our campaigns with content. I think it's a new approach, and it fits all the channels that are available. I think we've had channel explosion. It used to be just TV commercials. Now it's everything. It's social. It's, you know, billboards and TV still, radio.
Radio X. Speaking of it, I like that conversation age, but we are, at the end of the day, what we talk about with our folks is we're a content machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say, "What cash is king," right? But now it's content is king because everything drives that, and then all things follow, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so can you give us some examples of a client you worked with recently?
Well,
who comes to mind? Like,
sure.
Who's in your portfolio, I guess, yeah.
Well,
feel free to drop some names. Yeah.
All right, well, one exciting client, I think, is very interesting, and I think specifically for us, and it's a bank without branches. We've worked with a lot of banks, financial institutions, and we have one we just engaged called Bank Mobile, and they're in New York. They're great for us because it's a new challenge, no branches. So you don't get a lot of awareness that you would get from the signage outside a branch. Also, their audience, they're focusing on college students. And those are exciting people to talk to.
The millennials. That's what they like.
Millennials,
right?
I
know what I'm talking about.
So it's been a really interesting journey with them. The strategy has been a little different. And the conversation we've shaped and crafted for them has been lighter, more fun, more lifestyle driven.
That is an interesting concept. Bank without branches is kind of like bank without borders, right?
Right, right.
But so much is done online. We had some folks in here from Bitcoin, and that's just, it's a mind-blowing concept, whatever, right? But you got to always stay ahead of the curve or you're going to be pushed to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what's your capacity there, Gina, as far as what's a day in the life look like for you?
Oh, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go there, but I'm in charge of brand and marketing strategy for ourselves, own agency, and for our clients.
All right.
And one of the things you mentioned, content, and we couldn't agree more. One of the things we set out to do with our own adrenaline brand as we reinvented it and relaunched it last year was develop relevant, useful content for people to see and consume and to share and educate. When you inform people, you create a connection. When you teach, you have a stickiness that they'll keep coming back to, and you establish yourself as a real thought leader. And that's what we try to do with our clients and for ourselves.
Right. And we talked about millennials. I was in your research here, so you've done some research, what's the biggest takeaway that y'all had from that project, if you will?
Well, there are many, but I would say a key one is that millennials just want value. Value doesn't always come in the form of what's cheapest, right, but value could be a mixture of what's convenient, what's relevant. And they listen to their friends. They listen to even strangers way before they're going to listen to a brand itself.
Right, yeah.
And that's why a lot of traditional advertising is simply lost on them. You can't hide anymore from millennials. They are ultimately transparent in what they want and what they see, and they expect the same from brands. In fact, the brands we believe that are going to be the most successful and relevant in the future are the ones that are providing that absolute unique value. Another way to do that is brands that give back. They very much believe in causes. They are a cause marketing generation. Brands that are actually doing something to help causes, brands like Tom's, Warby Parker, those are the type that they like the most.
Yeah, it is this whole, I hate to use the word phenomenon, but this discovery of it's, obviously you got to sell your widget, you got to do a profit, all that good stuff, or you're no longer, you can't be a do-gooder if you haven't done something and you have the resources, right? But this idea of culture is a huge topic amongst not just millennials, but I think everybody's kind of adapted that mindset, right? So talk to us about, social media. This is the big new phenomenon. And brand, you're talking about brand management. It used to be where basically the company, you controlled your brand. And now it's like, we're living in kind of scary times or new era, right? Mm-hmm. Because you no longer as a company have full control of your brand. So, I mean, how do y'all coach or advise your clients in terms of...
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, we've talked about this quite a few times. Is it used to be, you know, when we grew up, you saw something on TV and you went to the store and you bought it. Now that's evolved into a much more complex process where you see it on TV or a radio or whatever, and then you go to every other channel to investigate it. I think we all investigate each other as well, not just products. And that's what social really is. So the process that we go through, it covers all the channels. We call it choreographing the channels. So it's not just matching luggage and making sure the logo shows up on every channel in the right way. It's crafting conversation that fits a specific channel. I think that, you know, as we know, people see the thing and investigate it online, and their first destination is Google. And that's where that journey begins, usually. And that goes to the website. And the first thing they see on the website is very important. And then the buying step, we also think is important. We call that adoption. So it's much more than giving someone money and taking the product. It's what Apple has created for us. People want to love the thing they buy. They want to adopt it. And the way that happens is through those social channels, because they talk about, endorse, and then talk about what they bought and convince others that they should do the same thing. We all want people to do what we did, because then we know we're right.
One of my favorite quotes about branding is that, or definitions really, is that your brand is what people say about you when you're not there.
Good point. Because it is like, again, losing control, which for a lot of big corporations or previous generations is a little scary. But the flip side is it's now with a smaller budget, you know, this idea of something that your consumer generates and going viral, that's, you know, free marketing, free advertising. So, I mean, let's talk to us about when you coach companies and you're working with them about marketing, what are some takeaways you would leave them about what they're currently doing that they should, you know, pull back from, remove from their marketing, and what should they include? You know, typically like when you meet with a new client, what's the first thing on your list to say, let's tone this down, let's ramp up this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, from the beginning, we would say that marketing reveals value. A lot of clients, I guess Silicon Valley spoiled us. A lot of innovation happened. And people had interesting things to talk about. They had an iPod. It plays music for you. I want to listen to that conversation. But we have clients, a lot of them are in financial services, and not many people want to talk about banking. So I'm not going to. We're not going to do that right now. But we do have to somehow start a conversation. And it usually is about, you know, the value and the benefit of those services. And that's where we start. We make it really relevant and lifestyle driven.
Okay.
And I'd say piggybacking off of that, the biggest takeaway for most businesses is to listen to their audiences and what their audiences want. Most are thinking about what they want and what they want to say, but it's not necessarily what the audience wants or what the audience wants to hear. So as Scott was articulating, we believe in audience first, and that's what many businesses fall short of doing.
It is it's a balancing line, because I don't know if it was Steve Jobs that had mentioned this, but a lot of iconic Richard Branson types, whatever, right? They'll say, you know, where's the line of listening to your consumers and giving them what the feedback, what they're saying they need, but then you have these other folks on the other side, and they say, no, we're going to create this from the creative standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to create this and then build it and they will come kind of mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a balancing act, yes or yes?
It is, and it's tempting. I think there's a great quote, I don't know who invented water, but it wasn't a fish. So it's because the fish doesn't know what he needs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you're Steve Jobs, and there aren't very many of them,
right.
You can follow that path. But
the majority of folks,
yeah,
you're trying to make the bottom line, pay your employees. You've got to like a customer first mindset, right?
Yeah. And I think, true product distinction is very, very rare. I mean, I think to come up with something truly innovative that no one's ever seen before, it's, you know, once in a lifetime. And for someone like Apple to do it three times in a lifetime is amazing.
Right.
We talk about unrealized needs,
and
often those are the ones we're seeking to uncover, what solutions that people don't know they're looking for, but they could actually use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once it's brought to the marketplace and somebody's vested in and developed it. So so finally, talk to us about, Gina, like, who are some of your clients? Who's in your wheelhouse, the type of folks that do kind of your sweet spot? I know you can probably handle A to Z. But what are some of the business sectors? We've talked about, obviously, financial institutions. Who else is kind of on the short list?
Well, interestingly, we like clients that do have something interesting to say. And one example is a brewery, a startup brewery here in Atlanta called Second Self. And Second Self was interesting in that they had actually a chef that was is one of the two partners at Second Self. They wanted to create beer that allowed you, it had a culinary flavor to it. So they have Thai wheat, for instance, as one of their key beers. They're just launching into the market now. You'll see them popping up in a number of restaurants.
Can we say their names yet?
We can. Okay. Second Self.
Oh, that's the...
That is actually the name of the beer company.
Okay, yeah. And I missed it the first time.
Kind of a...
One more time.
Sorry, one more time. Yeah, what was the name? It's like Groundhog Day all of a sudden, yeah.
Unusual name for a beer company, but they believe in that your second self can come out and perhaps be even greater and more interesting than your first self.
Wow.
Right.
Yes.
Could
Steph
this be
is just,
better?
Yeah.
Segue.
What a great segue. Yeah. So we talked earlier before the show. Steph in the studio is going to be talking about this idea of a second life. So, wow, I see a partnership, a sponsor. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay, so let our folks know, y'all, how would the best way to people interested in your service, how would they get in touch with y'all?
Please visit our website, which is adrenalineshot.com, like a shot of adrenaline.
Yep.
And our Twitter handle is @adrenalineATL.
Okay.
And we'd love to talk to you. We love interesting people and interesting companies, and we're trying to make them connect with their consumers.
That's your slogan. If you're not interesting, we're not interested in talking to you. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to reinvent your brand or your slogan. But well, thanks again, obviously, for being our first guest on this morning's show. And stick around. We see some other folks writing down questions. We'll have some follow up for you as well. All right. So next, joining us in the studio from the Georgia Restaurant Association, Tanya Lynn Daniel. Welcome back to the show.
Hey.
How are you so far?
I'm doing great.
All right. So let me just give our audience a little bit of idea if they're not familiar. The Georgia Restaurant Association. Well, actually, do you know how long have y'all been around?
It's about 10 years old.
Okay.
The
All
Georgia
right.
Restaurant Association is about 10 years old.
And you're actually sanctioned by the National Restaurant Association, which they have their big event coming up in Chicago a few weeks, right?
It's in May. I believe it's May 17th in Chicago.
Yeah. That's And for those folks that know it, it's called the NRA show, right?
Exactly.
Which is the other NRA. Talking about branding, it's the National Restaurant Association, not the other,
I actually get that a lot.
Oh, big time.
People are like, are you talking about the
NRA?
I'm like, no, the National Restaurant.
I know I have a lot of folks that that go to that event. So, all right. So now you, as part of your role or part of the association, a little backstory here is you guys offer educational classes on topics ranging from tax rulings to food cost, PCI compliance impacting your operations, and your core endorsed services from Allied Partners, sure to add money to the bottom line. So you're really like a resource if you're in the restaurant business. This is your go-to, and you also help speak as far as the association on behalf of those entities to like a liaison with the government or
actually our primary role. Our mission is three-pronged.
Okay.
So we advocate on behalf of Georgia's restaurant industry. So while they're in there cooking,
making beer and
for 80 hours a week, we get out. We are a nonprofit. We are a C6. So we get out and we speak with the legislatures about things that impact the industry and how they can help see the perspective of the restaurant industry, which in the state of Georgia, we are the second largest industry.
Wow.
We employ
who's first?
The agriculture, who is a partner. We work with
look at you, yeah.
Yeah, we work with the Commissioner Gary Black quite a bit for our Georgia Grown initiative. But our first line of business is the advocacy. So we get involved with the food code. We get involved with alcohol legislation. We sit actually on several different boards. We're a nonprofit, about 12 people.
Dang. How many members do y'all have?
Right now, it's around 353 corporate entities, which represents about 2,700 concepts.
Oh, wow.
Which represents about 5,000 units.
Jeez. And so what's your backstory and prior to the Georgia Restaurant Association?
Well, I just want to say, go Dogs. I went to UGA many years ago.
Easy there, yeah. Got a Seminole on this side. So, Steph, let's talk to Steph here. So, what have you been doing? Yeah, sorry, no.
It's okay.
But, it's all good.
I came to the restaurant industry through Waffle House.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was actually a Waffle House unit manager, so I did the 24-hour, three-shift thing. A Waffle House is a 24-hour operation.
Yeah. And they have a lock on their door still, right? Who said that? Was it Stephen Wright used to say that? Why do they have a lock on their door moving 24 hours?
I have no idea. But so that's how I got in. I was actually Top Waffle.
Congratulations.
Exactly,
I didn't know that. Exactly. I never heard of Top Dog. I didn't know there was a Top Waffle. Yeah.
You have to, there's like a 3-month training on that, and then you get accepted to become a unit manager. But I did that for a couple of years, and then I went home to be a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And when I started to get back into the workforce, I wanted to do something with politics.
Okay.
And I approached Karen Brimmer, who's our executive director.
Yep. We've had her on the show, yep.
Exactly. She just got appointed to the NRA board.
Oh, congratulations, Karen.
And I went in to go down and report on the legislature, and she called me back and said, I'd really like for you to be in member development. And so that's how I got my start.
Okay.
Which means that I go out every week and I speak to 15 to 20 restaurants to spread the good word of the GRA. I talk to them about how, if they support our organization, how that creates a positive business environment here in the state of Georgia for the industry.
So you moved from waffling into politics, right?
In a way.
There's a joke in there somewhere, yeah.
Flip-flop.
All right, yeah. A little flip-flop. All right, so meanwhile, you touched on the main reason for the Georgia Restaurant. What are some other benefits for a member maybe listening and saying, you know, why wouldn't I join?
So our mission is three-pronged.
Okay.
So the advocacy, as I talked about. And then we also offer educational classes. So when you say the word PCI compliance, a lot of people don't know what that means.
And I read it and I had no idea. Yeah,
it's credit card. As you talked about Bitcoin, they're going to have to become compliant, I believe, by October.
Yeah.
And they don't know this. And so what we try to talk to, and this is the system that you might really need to buy because we know you're going to get sales calls on this. And we guide them.
Okay.
We also... give classes on tax compliance, anything that would impact their operations that they need to know.
It's a fair question to ask. What's the membership fees run?
It's $295 a year plus $100 for each location.
Wow, what a bargain.
It is a huge bargain.
To have that association then represent you, speak on your behalf, as well as offering training. What's the third element?
The third element is awareness. So right now, the chair of our board, I'm saying this, his name is Ryan Turner. He's with Unsucky Community Business.
Okay.
And he owns like Local 3. And what they, in addition to cooking, they have an organization called the Giving Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that. Yeah.
Our third prong is awareness.
Okay.
We want to promote the industry and make it look as positive as possible, highlight all of the good things that restaurants do in a given community because they do give back. So organizations like the Giving Kitchen that takes in money and gives it out to people in the industry who become hurt and can't work.
Yeah, I met a gentleman. I was just at a luncheon over at Buckhead Atlanta. And there was a gentleman that was just going to an event just for that. I'd never heard of that concept, but it's kind of like the Aflac within the industry because unfortunately, a lot of restaurants don't even have the proper insurance coverage. But
right.
Even if they did, it's not going to pay the bill, so to speak, right?
And we do have a partnership with United Healthcare to help restaurants
get that.
But the Giving Kitchen is a different thing.
Yeah.
So local restaurants might give 20% of their earnings on a given day to the Giving Kitchen.
Okay.
Someone gets hurt or sick, they contact the Giving Kitchen, and then they receive a grant to pay their bills for, a
That's
limited
amazing,
time.
Yeah.
It is incredibly amazing. We also work with No Kid Hungry. We work with the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Almost everyone at our organization has a charity, but I'm the new kid on the block.
Right,
I haven't gotten mine yet. So the Boys Club, Unite Against Cancer. We really try, because restaurants employ the community, they feed the community, so then we want to give back to the community.
Nice. Yeah, we had Bill in from the...
Bill Bowling.
Yeah, we had him in. So, okay. So let's talk about some other benefits, I guess, or...
Okay.
Well, no, more about like, I guess your role when you sit down with someone and you're meeting with them, and you have really restaurants anywhere from mom and pops to the big brands, whatever, right? Or food trucks, I mean.
Well, we don't necessarily get into food trucks, but a lot of people have food trucks when they have a restaurant.
Well, that's the thing is most food trucks are kind of a spinoff or the catering division.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. The catering element.
So, like, everything from a large franchisee, like recently I brought on Zaxby's through their financial arm.
Nice.
But Zaxby's gives a lot back to the community. Then Bojonic, which is
local. We've had her in here, yeah.
Archna.
Yeah.
She's a, she has a wonderful Indian cuisine. So it's anyone with a food service location, right down to a hospital.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, because if they have a kitchen of some sorts or...
they need ServeSafe, which is our product through the NRA.
What's that,
ServeSafe? All restaurants, when you serve food, you have to be certified that you've studied on how to serve the food correctly. So,
right.
Right.
So we're going to have to shut down our kitchen across the hallway right here. I can do a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Well, you're
right?
Not a restaurant. Okay, you're not
good.
Charging anybody money.
Not as of now. Whatever. Thanks. We just lost that revenue stream. Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just teasing with
I'm
you.
Very sorry.
I'm messing with you.
But one thing that I didn't talk about is that we have 138 vetted partnerships.
That's what I was going to ask, because we've obviously the whole conversation, and when you say the name, Georgia Restaurant Association. Talk to us finally about some other folks that are vendors or partners or associations that are not really, behind the, flipping waffles or making coffee.
So in my role as a member development person at the GRA, what I do is once you become a member, I get calls constantly from people saying, I need an accountant.
Right.
You know, the heater, I need an outside heater that's going to be able to work on my patio. Or, you know what, I have 20 people at my hotel who need to be certified in ServeSafe or get there. And I put them in touch with vetted people. This saves the restaurant owners time.
Big time.
So that's a value.
And so those folks that are service providers can join as a member.
they can join, yeah, on a different level.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Through our charter, we try to keep that at 25% of our membership.
Oh, okay.
And they pay, their fees are like $750 for a year.
Yeah, premium, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're getting a return on that, yeah.
Yeah, so they also give our members webinars.
Okay.
So
if they need like a marketing firm or whatever, exactly. Maybe they need an adrenaline shot in their business, whatever. Yeah.
I've already talked to her about
okay,
that.
Okay, nice. I figured you did. Yeah.
I saw the synergy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no, we've got some great partnerships right now. Healthcare looms large in the face of many restaurant owners. So we partner with United Healthcare. We've got a member only rate through Gas South. We've got, you know, pest control. If I have everything, I think, except for a hood cleaner.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, well, I was scratching my head. I can't help you with that one there. But but we'll have to talk. A shameless plug. We've officially announced the it's a concept show for we're calling Food and Beverage Radio.
I love it.
Right? So we need to talk and see about maybe having some guests on or sending some guests our way for that show.
Okay.
But let's we want to leave time for open panel discussion. We have Steph here patiently waiting. So Tandalin, tell us, listeners, someone listening, how would they get involved or how would they find out about the association?
Okay, you can visit our website at www.garestaurants.org, and that's with an S. Okay. You can, I'm Tan the GRA lady.
Yeah,
that's
that,
my
yeah.
Twitter handle.
Nice.
And then also you can call directly into the office at 404-467-9000.
Nice. Well, thanks. A pleasure meeting you in person. I know we've traded a few tweets and social media contacts and connections. So thanks for being on the show. Hang around. Mm-hmm. All right. And up next, we have joining us in the studio, just Steph, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, like deja vu.
Yes.
We were just chatting earlier in the week, and now fast forward, you're here back in the studio. So, Steph, you're a local author, talk show host, and event MC, and you spelled that correctly, by the way. Yeah, a lot of people misspell MC.
Oh, thank God. Well, I'm an author.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. After successfully raising four boys, recognizing her own worth and potential, Steph decided to use her experiences to share her message. Realize that everybody has two lives, which is, just crazy, that idea of this beer coming into play here. But the second one begins when you acknowledge you only have one to live, right? One life to live.
Right.
Everyone deserves a fresh start. Steph points the way. Your dream is to share what truly means to embrace life to its fullest. This is very inspirational. Whether you're an empty nester, newly single, married, new choices for a happier life, your message is for them, right? You're welcoming a home and a promise for those who are over 40 that life is just beginning.
Right.
Which is very true. Now, what's cool, now you're anticipating becoming the first television talk show host with a limb difference.
That's right.
What an amazing goal. I think you've got all the right elements to make that happen. Now, you support vast philanthropic endeavors with the message to educate, motivate your audience to accept themselves and others despite our differences, seen or unseen. Steph promotes treating everybody with dignity and respect. I mean, those are good principles to live by. Right. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So let's get right into it. First of all, your accent, you probably get that a lot. So
you're
from where?
I'm from
Texas?
I'm from Macon.
Oh, nice.
Around here, it's hard to distinguish. They think I'm from New York, but right. I'm a Boston girl.
Okay, Boston. Yeah,
I wouldn't want to say I'm a Yankees fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to step outside. Don't mess with Steph.
Yeah. No.
All right. So, talk to us about limb difference. I mean, I don't know if I've heard that term phrased that way.
Well, I think in the past we have used words like birth defect.
Okay.
We have decided to change that,
okay.
And we call it a difference because everybody has a difference,
yeah.
And it's really not defective. We're all perfect in our own way, in our own creation. So I was born with Poulin syndrome,
okay.
Which is a rare disease, and I actually just spoke at the Capitol on Rare Disease Day, which was February 27th, and so I spoke there about for motivation to the audience, and it was actually wonderful. Poulin syndrome affects one in 3 in 100,000 people, and less than that for women. It is, they don't even know how it happens. They think it's during the 6 week of gestation where blood flow is diminished from one side to the fetus to the other, and everybody's just a little bit different. Some people have chronic pain. Some people have webbed fingers or small hand. Some people absence of breast tissue or back you know, back problems, ribs. It depends. Everybody's just a little bit different. So
you're talking about this is initiating at birth as opposed to later in life.
That's
right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
That's correct. This is a birth. It's not, it's congenital.
Right, yeah.
However, it's not hereditary.
Okay, okay.
Thank God I have four great kids.
Right, exactly, yeah. Next on the list, we were talking about boxing.
Yes.
So, I mean, talk to us about that and building your confidence. I mean,
yes. Well, as I was turning my life around and making some good changes for myself and deciding that I needed more out of my life and I was going to do more beyond the children.
Right.
And use my degree and use, you know, what God had given me, I started to box, which actually my great uncle is a welterweight. He's in the he was in the Boxing Hall of Fame. So
oh, wow.
I'm sort of in the blood.
Oh,
and of
yeah,
course,
yeah,
being
yeah,
Sicilian,
yeah.
We like to fight.
Exactly, yeah. Anyhow, bring it on or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I started to box. And the great thing about boxing, when I first started, I couldn't jump rope and I couldn't do a push-up.
Wow.
And I learned to use my wraps to help me with free weights and jump rope. And my boxing trainer, Paul Delgado, has been instrumental in building my confidence. And the thing for me is when I was in my class or if I was training, I put the boxing gloves on and I was just like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, things we take for granted kind of, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So so I was able to relax for an hour and just be like everybody else. And not to say that being me is bad. It just for a minute, I could relax.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I think I get a little bit of the gist of that. Some mm-hmm. concept. And a shout out to Paul. Whatever,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. He's great. Delgado Boxing.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Speaking of boxing, I didn't realize this about having known you about that part of your background. We've had Terry Moss in here from the Buckhead Fight Club. We had some former Falcons in here a few weeks ago.
I love title boxing.
Yeah, they
love
just started the title boxing franchise here mm-hmm. in the market, and they're opening a new one in. He's going to have seven.
I'm looking forward to it.
Both former Falcons, and they're starting a new one here in Buckhead. But so maybe we'll throw you back in the ring for that. And we
absolutely.
Got Pacquiao. Who are you going for?
You got to go for Pacquiao. I think
really?
The speed versus power. I think is that bad?
Mayweather, though. I don't know.
I don't
man.
Know. It's I do like. I mean, I actually like Mayweather. I like him. I like him better. But
okay,
I think
I'm going to go with whatever you say. I'm
okay.
not going to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
We'll see.
I don't want to start with fight with just
no,
Steph.
No,
yeah.
no fighting.
Yeah, exactly,
I'm actually a lover, not a fighter.
Nice. This is a fight free zone. Yeah. Actually, when we had them in here, well, it's another story, but I'll tell you afterwards. But meanwhile, so back to so now talk to us about this important message you want to spread and mm-hmm. about treating everyone with dignity and respect. Expand on
yes.
that.
Yes, and I actually spoke about this at the Capitol. You know, so many people they focus on dealing with the physical aspect of having an illness or a rare disease. And what they fail to address is the emotional issues and the fact that you get treated differently based upon how you look, because that's how, you know, people can see that. And I know this as somebody who lived with this my whole life, and not to say that most people are wonderful. 99.9% of the people are wonderful. But there are people
sure.
that I've spoken to, just we would be talking and all of a sudden we introduce ourselves and I shake hands and they turn around and walk away from me.
Wow.
Yes, that has happened. Or I've directed them to my website, which talks about me having Poland syndrome, and they will not continue
interact,
a conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
But one can only
connect the dots. Whatever.
Yes. So I've been, and of course with kids and everything, and it, not my kids, but being a kid around kids, it can be tough. And you know,
they don't have any sensibilities like that. Right. I mean, they're just,
well, there's no filters.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no filters. They don't.
Sometimes I have that challenge, but,
yeah.
But speaking of these folks that you interact with, one of my favorite quotes by Jim Rohn, I don't know if you know the author, Jim Rohn, EJ Rohn, but he says, you know, there's really only seven mean, nasty, ugly people out there. The problem is they move around a lot.
Right.
So you tend to keep running into them, right?
Well, I think, just so that I can say this, I think for me in my growth and my development, it wasn't just being okay in my own skin.
Yeah.
That was not enough for me. I wanted to actually love and embrace and have it be not who I am that defines me, but it makes me unique. So I am who I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah. And very interesting. I see a television show in your future, whatever. Yeah, that would be amazing to be part of that story.
I'll accept that prophecy.
All right, nice. So so talk to us about suggestions you have for the folks listening to help them enjoy this second life. Talk about this concept into their 40s.
And, yes, yeah. You know, on my radio show, I've had various guests. I've actually had Johnny Esposito Jr.
talking about
Buckhead,
yeah.
Buckhead Tavern.
Yeah.
And I've
great
had,
story there.
You know, and, you know, so I've had various local people,
sure.
And we talk about all the fun things that are going on in and around Atlanta. And the concept isn't just based in Atlanta, and it's not just based upon restaurants and nightclubs, but fun things that the over 40 crowd is getting into because they're starting this new life. The kids are grown. They can afford a babysitter, or they can afford to go out. They have some disposable income. They are ready to go. They're newly single for whatever reason.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, you do meet people that not just divorce, that maybe have lost somebody,
yep.
You know. And so and I know because I'm getting out there,
yep.
And there's a giant group of people that are doing fun stuff like a beer crawl or festivals, or they want to exercise and they're doing Orange Theory and and all of that, and they're doing CrossFit and they're going to nutritionists, and we are now at my age. When my mother was my age, I was getting married, and it seemed so much like an older crowd, whereas now we're all happy, healthy, and hip. So, I know. I was like, trying to think.
Your three H's or whatever. H3. Yeah, H3, yeah.
So,
I remember that. Yeah. Healthy, happy, and hip.
That's right. What? So, you know, there's so much to do. So, basically, just I have actually had Julie Spira on my show, who is the number one expert on online dating in the country.
Wow.
And that's what a lot of the single people are doing today, is they're getting on online dating because they might not, they're working and they're running around and they don't have time for this. And then there's a lot of weeding out that goes on with the online dating. So that was exciting and fun. And she talked about what you could have in your profile. So these are things that we talk about. I talk about the dating aspect for the over 40 crowd.
Over 40, living in Atlanta and
right.
All the things that you can partake in.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right. And we're going to actually bring it around the country and hopefully the world, where we, you know, the people in Atlanta who have this disposable income,
yep.
They want to know what they can do for their age group in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and Boston
and Boston
Houston.
And
talk
LA.
About branding, right?
Right.
Yeah, so living
right.
life wherever you are,
right.
Till
and
it's
enjoying
fullest.
It. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Okay, so we want to allow some time for some. I see some note taking, maybe some interesting conversation. I have some follow up thoughts for maybe some of the guests as well. So for our listeners, what's the best way to find out, contact you, and reach out to you?
That's right. You can look at my website, juststeph.com.
I love that, yeah.
And I'm on Twitter, at Steph Palermo.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Just Steph. And we spend a lot of time retweeting and sharing all of the people that we're connected with, like all the local restaurants,
sure.
Davio's, New York Prime, all the different places that our age group
frequents.
Right,
yeah.
Frequents.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being on the
show.
And if you have some notes, I'll just make an opening question or conversation for each of y'all. But feel free to this is free flowing now. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question you want to ask a fellow guest, feel free to chime in. I might just kind of start by saying you can answer one or both or pass on this question, whoever wants to start off first. But what are some challenges with your business? And what advice would you give to someone, you know, what note would you write to yourself 5 or 10 years ago, in a former life, right? But, or in essence, tips you would give to someone starting, in a business venture today.
Well, that's a toughie,
yeah.
But I'll
okay.
take it. I think the advice might be, and something I wish I told myself more, never, never stop learning and keeping your eyes and ears open to everything happening around you, because it's evolving so fast.
Right.
It's changing so fast. And what the new normal of people's lives, and even what Steph's explaining about the reality of the over 40 crowd, never, never stop listening, learning, observing, and rethinking how that impacts what you are and what you do.
That's interesting, because we had a lot of conversation about the millennials, right? But maybe there's some lessons for the, whatever, what do we call the 40 crowd? Do we? Happy, then we have the we have the baby boomers.
Happy
H3.
H3.
We're going to call them H3s.
It's Gen X. H3.
Gen X, is that what we call it? Yeah.
That's what it is. Well, I actually want to say something for those of us that are restarting.
Okay, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of women out there that stayed home with their children like I did and didn't do what you're saying. And even though I had the degree and I was, you know, but I was mom. And
oh, yeah.
And when I had to come back to what I wanted, why didn't I do what I should have done back, you know, when I was coming out of college, or maybe continue something, even if you want to stay home with the kids, but continue to do something, continue that learning, continue to do something. And I think even with men who are maybe changing careers, again, you know, it's that continuing, like just what you said. And I think it can be difficult when you're, you know, when you don't do what you're supposed to do and then you're faced with, what do I do?
Well, Tanalyn, you had that experience. You said you went back from the restaurant business into raising stay-at-home mom, and mm-hmm. then on to a new career. What were some of your challenges, Ru?
I think, first of all, I think it's a totally different hat being a mom, which I think is far harder than any business endeavor I've ever undertaken.
Right.
Because that person is like the world's most unique supercomputer. Like Apple cannot brand that the child is going to say, I don't like macaroni.
Right, yeah. And everything revolves around them, right? They have a very small perspective. And maybe there's some lessons that play into the workplace, right? Of how you interact with people.
Totally lessons. Because if you can convince a four-year-old to do something, I assure you, this translates into managing a group of people at the Waffle House or getting the...
Or the White House, yeah. For the Waffle House to the White House. Yeah,
or
politics, or yeah.
Getting the attention of an incredibly busy restaurant owner who says, who's working so many hours a week, because that's my challenge,
right?
Is, you know, when can you actually talk with Pano from Buckhead Life Group?
Yeah.
Or... Because they're managing a million different things.
What a great kind of takeaway. I mean, what a great observation of, yeah, if you can, you have to be smart and strategic of how you capture the imagination, the attention of a four-year-old with such short attention spans. And people these days with social media and all the distractions we have going on, they kind of think in nanoseconds. Right. Yes or yes?
Absolutely. The founder of AOL said the society is in a constant state of continuous partial attention.
That's very good.
That's a great one, yeah. Okay, any other roundtable follow-up questions? Steph, I'm going to put your radio hat on and host.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I'm very interested in everything everyone had to say. I try to take some copious notes. You said something that this was the conversation age.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting when... And I'm just wondering, how do you deal with that? Really, the conversation is happening via technology as opposed to face-to-face, because you don't see their facial expressions. You don't hear the inflection in their voice. You don't hear where they're putting a pause, or especially if they're not using, you know, the commas and proper grammar. Mm-hmm. You don't know. And so how does that translate into what you were mm-hmm. talking about with the conversation age?
That's a great point. I think, you know, there are other technologies that help video, mm-hmm. our client, Bank Mobile. Since they don't have branches, you can't go talk to a person about a very important thing like your finances, but you can video chat. And they've had to up the ante, so to speak, by providing free advice to compensate for that lack of personal, you know, one-on-one interaction. So that, you know, it was a handicap they overcame and did well by. I think it'll work well. I think, Gina, I don't know if you...
Well, on that, I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this new gizmo that's out there, Periscope. You guys heard of this? It's from your Apple or your device, live streaming, and it's like unlimited and right from your phone, but it's... I don't know how to explain it, but we did a beta here, and that's something where... Because on those certain platforms, on Twitter, you're right, on LinkedIn, you can't really sometimes convey your message. But sometimes it's better because, like, you know, on those platforms, because you can kind of compose your response and gather your thoughts before mm-hmm. you speak.
There's pros and cons.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I think the most important thing with the different channels of conversation is to be in the channel in a really legitimate way. So people that you don't want to post the same exact thing on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, for instance. That each one of those channels requires a different inflection, a different way of putting it. Maybe one has a picture, one doesn't. Maybe one uses shorthand in Twitter and is filled with hashtags, and one isn't. And so I think it's important to legitimately be in each channel in the way that's appropriate for that channel. Mm-hmm.
So that actually segues into my next question, which was you were talking about morphing for a channel. And so would you take a brand, I'm going to be simple here, like say an iPod, and would you market it differently on Twitter and Facebook and magazine, whomever the audience is? Is that what you meant by morphing?
Mm-hmm. Choreographing for the channels. I think, it's huge because there's a lot you can say. You can talk about the features, which are very important, but then you need to step it up, talk about the benefits.
Right.
And ultimately the experience of that product.
How it kind of makes them feel.
Yeah. And I think there needs to be a place for those specs. So a lot of us don't know the resolution of our iPhones. Right, we don't know what's inside, but somebody wants to know, and it needs to go somewhere. And that's what usually a website is for. And then that retail experience when you walk into an Apple store, it's very different from the website. It still feels like them, but it's the culture. You know, that's what comes into play at that point.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of confusing because you just have this one product, yet, you know, you're talking to the 20-somethings and then the 30, and then the 40-something, you know, all the different people. And then you have your techies that want to know all that stuff. So I would imagine it's, for you, that's a very diverse plan that you would have to have, plan of action.
Yeah, and I think what Apple has done, and we keep talking about that.
I know, exactly, yeah.
You know,
they're not paying us any money.
They've maintained competitive advantage through those channels.
Right.
Primarily the retail space. They really have stayed unique, even though, you know, Microsoft could be next door with a store. It's just not the same.
It is weird because I see those commercials. I'm more of a PC guy, but I see these commercials, and whatever the device is that Microsoft has, the Surface,
where
it flips and it spins and it has all these features, and you see the commercials side by side, and this gizmo does everything, you know, on steroids, and then the Apple, you know, obviously it's a Microsoft commercial. The Apple is pretty limited, and yet, to me, I'm still overwhelmed, and kudos to them, but their brand loyalty is like second to none, right? And I mean, it's so ingrained. I remember I was driving a while back and I saw this girl and she had the Apple logo all over her car, like stickers. I'm like, who would do that? Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a secret sauce that, like he said, not only doesn't happen very often, but it's very difficult to make that happen.
The reason is what Scott explained. We try to do this for all of our clients that often talk about features, and that's kind of the bottom of the totem pole. Above that is benefits of those features. Above that is the experience of the product, you know, what it's really giving you. I think the iPhone 6's latest advertising is brilliant. It's just these pictures. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous
pictures.
Well,
now they have the watch coming out, it's kind of come full circle, right?
That's a whole other thing. They're showing you beautiful pictures, and it just says in little type at the bottom, taken with iPhone 6. That little type and this gorgeous picture of anything from a mountain to a little kid sleeping in bed is showing you the ultimate experience impact it has on your life. You can take beautiful pictures at any moment in time, and that's what Apple does and continues to do, and that's why they're so successful.
Yeah. All right, we're almost out of time. But
okay,
go ahead. Yeah.
I wanted to ask Taylor. I actually was speaking about the giving kitchen.
Yeah.
I was speaking about it last week on my show. I was mentioning that one of the events. So I wanted to ask you, how can we get involved, or how can there are events that are coming up, I believe, and is it Restaurant Week, or there's something going on that
almost everyone has a restaurant. Every county, every municipality. Like, I'm going to the Eastman. I'm from Dublin, Georgia. The Eastman, Georgia Restaurant Week in August.
Right.
There was a Henry County. But the Giving Kitchen, if you go to our website, you can see that. But I will personally try and put you in touch with Mr. Ryan Turner.
Right.
He just came from the NRA Public Affairs, National Restaurant
Thank
Association.
Thank you. Yeah.
Public Affairs.
Those people just tuning in.
Public Affairs. conference where they get together, they meet with the legislatures in DC, and I believe that program is running, it's rolling out nationally because it was such a huge success in the Atlanta market, and it's just doing so many fantastic things. So if you want to get in touch and learn about events, you can go to www.garestaurants.org.
Right.
And we have an events tab.
That's what I was going to ask maybe to kind of finish up, if there's any events or announcements y'all have. But speaking of the NRA, that maybe they want to change their name to the National Restaurant Convention or something, whatever, somewhere. NRC. Yeah. Yeah. But meanwhile.
All right.
So real quick, any just roundtable feel to jump in or not? If there's an event coming up or something we should be aware of happening?
Well, I'm excited about Living Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Our new radio show and a partnership.
I know. Well, I didn't know we were going to make the official announcement.
I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know.
I
mean,
I think we just
know.
Got the green light.
I don't know.
I'm excited. Yeah. No,
I don't
love,
know.
I love the
probably going to kick me under the table.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, we're
time.
Talking about it and getting on radio and going big time. But also, we are doing a video series, Living Atlanta, where we'll be going around and
on location.
On location. And so, look, we'll have our own YouTube channel and everything that you need to know what to do. All
we'll
fun stuff.
Film it here, yeah. So we'll, but yeah, we've talked about, and I think it's basically just we got to ink the deal. But
that's
it's
right.
We're looking at a radio show, Living Atlanta, right here from the studio. So just Steph,
right?
Stay tuned.
Love it.
All right.
And two events that I'm going to highlight is next week in Athens. There's the Success Summit, which is going to have a segment on how to become more successful in the restaurant industry and future trends. We at the GRA have four signature events. The next one coming up is our golf invitational on June 15th. And of course, there's always the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago, which I believe that's on May 15th or 19th.
It's crazy how many vendors they have there and how huge that event is. They take over
it
the whole city.
It is the biggest event of the year in terms of the restaurant industry.
Yeah. All right. And just remind our listeners how to get in touch with you, or if there's any thing y'all want to plug or promote.
Well, we've got a small event, certainly not the biggest of the year.
Right, on the other side of the spectrum,
On Thursday at 5 at Octane at the Atlanta Tech Village, we're going to be doing an unveiling and beer tasting with Second Self. And the founder of Second Self and ourselves, we're going to be talking about what we did to create this new beer label and trends in craft brewery and how to create brands. And they're going to be talking about the beer and what went into it. And there'll be samples of all of their beer.
So beer... Octane and adrenaline shot, man. Yeah, you'll be. Right. You won't even need the helipad when
you
leave. Yeah. All right. So, wanted to thank all our guests for being here once again, Rich Casanova, for another exciting episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. See you next week.